to say good morning to each of you and echo the Happy New Year's to everyone. Here we are, 2023. Wonder, was there anyone here that thought a year ago they would be here at this today, that would make it this far? Not too many, a few optimists out there. New Year's Day, time when many people reflect back on the previous year, possibly look forward, hoping for a better year. As I reflect back on 2022, I feel like it was a whirlwind of a year. In many ways, I feel like I barely had time to catch my breath before the next busy, push moment came, and we, you know, scurried through that. But busy can be good, but it can also be very dangerous. And as I reflect back on the past year, it would be an easy conclusion to say that I was too busy. So if I were to make a New Year's resolution, Aaron, it would probably be that I could slow down this year. That may be a general, more of a general goal, but there is value in being busy, but there's also value in just taking time and whether we're communing with God, hearing what God has to say back to us. I think we spend so much time telling God what we need, telling God what we would like him to do for us, and not nearly enough time, maybe I'm just speaking about myself, but not nearly enough time listening and hearing what he has to say to us. Words of confirmation. You are my son. You are my beloved son or daughter. I am well pleased in you. And things like that. I mentioned it would be nice to slow down. I a lot of times I use Saturdays as a catch-up day for myself around our property there. Do things that I can't do Monday through Friday, you know, and probably a lot of you can identify with that. But this year I'd like to take more times, more Saturdays, maybe to go boating on a lazy stream or something and just, you know, just literally kick it into neutral instead of overdrive. What about you? What are your reflections on 2022? I was going to say at the beginning, we are detouring from our studies in John here this morning, thinking about the new year. You probably guessed that already, but what are your reflections on 2022? What we could probably benefit from taking the next 30 minutes or so and just discussing things you've learned from the past year, things to not do, things to not repeat, or things to reach for, things to try to do in this coming year, as I mentioned a few. I've never made a lot of New Year's resolutions. I listen to a lot of people who make them, and then it seems like January the 2nd, they're already gone by the wayside, or maybe a little later, longer than that. So they last for some people, but I don't know. I've never put a lot of stock in New Year's. Not saying they're good or bad. It's just where I come from. I my personal feelings. Maybe some of that has to do with just the article I read or come across. When it comes to the types of resolutions people make, Americans, not surprisingly, focus on self-oriented changes. Among those planning to make resolutions, the top pledges for 2011, this was written in 2011, I guess. Yeah. I was trying to think if it was 10, 11, or 12, but I guess it would have been 11. Anyhow, it's relevant for today, I believe. But anyhow, the top pledges for that year related to weight, diet, and health was 30%. 30% of the resolutions had to do with weight, diet, or health. 15% had to do with money, debt, finances. 13% had to do with personal improvement, which would be things like being a better person, giving more, having more personal leisure time. That would be in that category. 12% had to do with addictions, 5% job or career related, 5% spiritual or church related, and 4% educational. While people concentrate on themselves when making priorities for the new year, it is telling that so few Americans say they want to improve relationships with others. There were virtually no mentions of volunteering or serving others, only a handful of comments about marriage or parenting, almost no responses focusing on being a better friend, and only a small fraction of people mentioned improving their connection with God. David Kinneman, president of the Barna Group, explained these findings. Only 9 out of more than 1,000 surveyed respondents, that would be less than 1%, mentioned that one of their objectives for the next year was getting closer to God in some way. Even in the rare instance when people mention spiritual goals, it is often about activity undertaken for God, rather than personal pursuit of God or an experience or a relationship with God. Kinnaman put the findings in context. Americans maintain a love-hate relationship with New Year's resolutions. Millions of people make them, but they rarely report success as a result. This research underscores that most humans want to experience some sort of personal change in their lives, but achieving such objectives is both difficult and uncommon. I thought that was a very, very telling statement. Most humans want to experience some sort of change, personal change in their lives, but achieving such objects is both difficult and uncommon. I wonder why. Maybe most problematic Americans hinge their efforts at personal change by focusing almost exclusively on themselves, rather than realizing that lasting change often comes by serving and sacrificing for others. Churches and faith communities have a significant opportunity to help people identify what makes for transformational change and how to best achieve those objectives, especially by relying on goals and resources beyond their individualism. As we are seeking, calling upon God for breath of heaven in 2023, we need to be committed to the change of this course of mediocre, apathetic Christianity. And I would say that pretty well describes the church at large today in America. Mediocre, which is barely adequate. Apathetic is just simply lazy, indifferent Christianity in America. And it really starts with us here this morning. To receive this fresh wind of the Spirit from God, I think requires us to pursue a right relationship with God. This relationship is the most important relationship we have as Christians. The truth, everything in life rises and falls in this vital, intimate relationship with the Lord. Yet few of us give it the proper attention and cultivation that is required in this relationship to keep it strong and vibrant. So what can we do? How do we go about effecting change both in our lives and in the world around us? Well, I happen to believe that Scripture is relevant to our day and that the written Word of God has the solutions and answers we need for 2023. The title of the message this morning is Reaching for the Goal. And our text is found in Philippians 3. Interesting that Aaron read from a few verses from Philippians 3. We're going to read the 21 verses in Philippians 3 at this time. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who do so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I tell you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Verses 12 to 14 were the verses that drew my mind to this chapter, forgetting the past and reaching forward to the things that are ahead. I have 4 points for us this morning, things that I believe will help us reach for the goal. But before we get to those 4 points, maybe we should identify what the goal is. I believe our chapter here tells us in verse 14, verse 20 and 21, describe the goal. Verse 14 says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And verse 20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Reaching for the goal is reaching for heaven. Heaven is the prize. Being with Jesus, our lowly earthly bodies that are racked with pain, are racked with fatigue and sickness and on and on and on. Our glorious body, our bodies, our earthly bodies, will be transformed to his glorious body. That's what we're reaching for. That's the hope that lies within each of us as his disciples. So point number one, how do we reach for this goal? What are some steps? I think we have to recognize our own insufficiency. Verse 12, Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Paul recognized that there was nothing within himself that could save himself from the curse or the penalty of sin, not even his own pedigree. Look at the last part of verse 3 and following. He says, have no confidence in the flesh. In verse 3. Then he goes on in verse 4 and following to list off some things that describe who he was. He was circumcised the eighth day. In other words, he followed the law to the letter. He was a descendant of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, a Pharisee. He had zeal. He persecuted the church, the people that were against the Pharisees. He was out vigorously persecuting these people. And as in his eyes, he was blameless in keeping the law. But none of this mattered. None of this was helping him reach for the goal. There had to be something more. There had to be something else. Verse 7, he says, all these things were of no value in reaching the goal. Verse 8 and 9, yet indeed I also count all these things as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, and for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Paul recognized that it wasn't within himself to save himself. Rather, it was faith in Christ Jesus, faith by claiming the righteousness of Christ, found there in the end of verse 9. Let me read verse 9 again. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. If we would reach the goal, we must recognize it's not enough to be a Mennonite, it's not enough to be an Anabaptist or a member of a church or to be baptized or even take communion. Not that any of those things are wrong, but Judas Iscariot took communion, and that didn't save him, did it? Again, we're not saying that any of these things are wrong or that we're not saying that they're not necessary. I believe that they are, but in and of themselves, they will not save us from the curse or the penalty of sin. There has to be something more. And that brings us to point number two, identify with the cross of Christ. In verse 18 and 19, notice what happens to the enemies of the cross, those who are not willing to bear the cross or to identify with the cross of Christ. Verse 18, for many who walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. What a horrible place for a person to find themselves. What exactly is the cross of Christ and how do we identify with it? A couple of articles or illustrations here relating to the cross. Many people in our culture today don't know what the cross means or what Christians believe about it. A study was conducted about 5 years ago of people in Australia, Germany, India, Japan, England, and the U.S. to find out how much they recognized certain symbols. 92% could identify the interlinking circles as a symbol for the Olympics. 88% could identify the golden arches as a symbol for McDonald's, but only half of the people could identify the cross as symbolic of the Christian faith. And actually, to be honest, I'm surprised it was even half of the people that could identify the cross. I wouldn't have been surprised if it would have been less than that. The Son sets us free. Another little article here. The Son sets us free by becoming a curse for us and thereby removing the curse from us by taking all our guilt on himself, thereby clearing us of guilt and binding the strong man through his death, thereby setting us free from Satan's kingdom. Oh, what a cross. Alexander White said, "It is the picture of violence," speaking of the cross, "it is the picture of violence, yet the key to peace. It is a picture of suffering, yet the key to healing. It is a picture of utter weakness, yet the key to power. It is a picture of capital punishment, yet the key to mercy and forgiveness. It is a picture of supreme shame, yet the Christian's supreme boast. It is a picture of death, yet the key to life. It is a picture of vicious hatred, yet the key to love. What irresistible love." And then there's another little story article, if you want. It's more of a, it's written as a conversation one would have or a person would have between themselves and God. It goes like this. "Well, here I am, Lord. You said take up your cross, and I'm here to do it. It's not easy, you know, this self-denial thing. I mean to go through with it. Through. Yeah, yes, sir. I bet you wish more people were willing to be disciples like me. I've counted the cost and surrendered my life, and it's not an easy road. You mind if I look around over the crosses? I'd kind of like a new one. I'm not fussy, you understand, but a disciple has to be relevant these days. I was wondering, are there any that are vinyl padded? I'm thinking of attracting others, see, and if I could show them a comfortable one, I'm sure I could win a lot more. And I need something durable so I can treasure it always. Oh, is there one that's sort of flat so it would fit under my coat? One shouldn't be too obvious. Funny, there doesn't seem to be much choice here, just that coarse, rough wood one. I mean, that would hurt. Do you have something more distinctive? Lord, I can tell you right now, none of my friends are going to be impressed by this shoddy workmanship. They'll think I'm a nut or something, and my family will be just mortified. What's that? It's either one of these or forget the whole thing. But Lord, I want to be your disciple. I mean, just being with you, that's all that counts. But life has to have balance too. And I was kind of struck by how this person would say one thing and it almost immediately in the next sentence would like undo what he just said. He says, I mean, just being with you is all that counts. But life has to have a balance too. But you don't understand. Nobody lives that way today. Who's going to be attracted by this self-denial bit? I mean, I want to, but let's not overdo it here. Start getting radical like this, and they'll have me off to the funny farm. Know what I mean? I mean, being a disciple is challenging and exciting, and I want to do it, but I have some rights, you know? Now, let's see. No blood, okay? I just can't stand the thought of that, Lord. Lord? Jesus? Now, where do you suppose he went? If you noticed, several times, actually, in that little article, what he described what the cross actually is, and that is self-denial. The cross is saying no or rejecting anything that hinders me from following Christ wherever and however he might lead. If your Bibles are open to Philippians 3, just one page over, Philippians 2, verse 21, "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." Jesus talks a lot about bearing the cross. We could go back to Luke chapter 9, excuse me, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus speaking here, and he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Luke chapter 14, 26 and 27. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Paul also talks a lot about taking up the cross, preaching the cross of Jesus Christ in the epistles that he wrote. In almost every one of his letters, he talks about the cross, bearing the cross or taking up the cross, preaching the cross of Jesus to the people he was talking to, preaching to. When Jesus was preparing to leave this earth, he had a lengthy discourse with the disciples And John recorded some of that for us. In John 14, verse 16 and 17, Jesus calls, he's in speaking about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit that's coming, he says, Jesus calls him the Spirit of Truth. And in John 16, verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. The Spirit will help us to know what God's will is for each of us individually, what God wants me to give up for the sake of the kingdom, for instance, or what he wants me to take on. This is what the cross is, giving up what I want for what he wants for me, for the sake of the kingdom. And the things that we may be asked to give may not be bad, not necessarily. It just may not be what God wants for me today, here, right now. Maybe he's calling me to give that up. Can I give that up is the question that we have to ask ourselves. Can I go where he calls me to go, sell what he asked me to sell, give what he asked me to give, to be who he asked me to be? We will be criticized. Jesus said very specifically that as followers of his, people will turn against him. People will hate him. We will be criticized. We will be ridiculed by others, our friends, our families. Even the church sometimes can come against us. But will that stop you from taking up your cross? 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us not to quench the Spirit. When the Spirit speaks to us, asking and telling, and we say no, or when we just say do nothing in response, hoping that he'll go away or quit asking us, quit calling us, leave me alone. When we do this, we're quenching the Spirit. And when we're quenching the Spirit, we're not taking up our cross. And if we do not take up our cross daily, we cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if we are not his disciple, then we are his enemy. And his enemy's end is destruction. If we're not willing to identify with the cross of Jesus Christ and bear our own cross, then we're not reaching forward for the goal. Brings us to point number three. Forgetting things behind is the next thing I believe we need to do. Verse 13, Paul had a lot of ugly in his past, in addition to persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. And I don't think we could pause there for a minute and just, I don't think we can get our hands around, our minds around what Jesus or what Paul did to those people. I can't imagine throwing rocks or stones at a person until they're dead. But yet that was part of the punishment. We understand he was on the scene watching that happen with Stephen. Other methods may have been even more cruel, methods that were used to kill Christians. Paul instigated that. Paul was a strong supporter, promoter of that. Hard for us to get our minds around that. In addition to that, he was a very proud, self-serving man. He was condescending and unteachable. If anyone had a reason or excuse to say, I am unworthy or I'm unfit for the kingdom, it would have been Paul. But in choosing to identify and take up his own personal cross for Christ, Paul recognized that he needed to let go of the things from the past, count them as loss. To hang on to them would have put emphasis on himself. To let go to them is to trust in the holiness of Christ and to make himself holy and blameless before God. The same is true for us. If we can't let go of the ugly past, then we're saying our righteousness is of ourselves. Now, I find that to be a very, almost a harsh statement. And I pondered over that, whether I should even mention it, but I believe it's true. If we can't let go of the ugly past, then we're saying our righteousness is of ourselves. This can be very difficult to do. I'm not here to promote or insinuate that this cross thing is an easy course, an easy road. It can be very difficult. But it is needful if we will reach forward for the goal. I would imagine that Paul could have actually met up with family members of those who he had put to death. That meeting would have been very difficult. Could you imagine Paul having a conversation with the widow or wife of someone, of a husband that he had instigated being put to death, being cruelly punished and tortured? It's very likely that he could have met up with those family members and had actual conversation with them. Talk about letting go of the past and embracing the future. I believe it is a very effective tool of the enemy to cause us to hang on to the past or to even be unable to be released from the awfulness or from the feeling of condemnation that the sin, past sin brings. Some sins can be very hurtful to others, And we're not talking about a reckless abandonment here or a careless approach to what we've done in the past. We're not talking about that. But we must allow the Spirit to free us from that paralysis, to forget the ugly past and reach forward for the goal. That brings us to point number four then, reaching forward. One more thing that we can do in reaching for the goal that we talked about, reaching forward. The new year has many opportunities. Another little article says, I am the new year. I am an unspooled page in your book of time. I am your next chance at the art of living. I am your opportunity to practice what you have learned about life during the last 12 months. All that you sought and didn't find is hidden in me, waiting for you to research it, but with more determination. All the good that you tried for and didn't achieve is mine to grant when you have fewer conflicting desires. All that you dreamed of but didn't dare to do, all that you hoped but did not will, all the faith that you claimed but did not have, these slumber lightly, waiting to be awakened by the touch of strong purpose. I am your opportunity to renew your allegiance to him who said, behold, I make all things new. That last phrase is found in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, a beautiful book that's been written for us that I would say gives a Christian hope, among many other things. Revelation 21, verse 5, then he that would be Christ or God who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are faithful and true. Notice that he doesn't say, I will make all things new. His words are, I make all things new, present tense, here and now. Isn't that great? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a beautiful picture? Beautiful beyond words? This is the reason that we can leave the past behind us with no guilt, no shame for our past sins. Hebrews 10, verse 17 says, their sins, and this is Jesus speaking, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And he goes on to say, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, that would be the cross that we talked about, let us draw near with a true heart, that would be one who's led by the Spirit, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, that's letting go of the past, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. That's reaching for the goal. Letting go and reaching forward is not carelessness. It's not recklessness. It's holy boldness. It's the heart's response it's the heart's natural response, could we say, that has been made free from sin by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's the heart's response that is identifying, that is taking up his own personal cross daily. It's a natural inclination of a disciple of Jesus Christ. I feel like Philippians chapter 4 details well how we would reach forward for that goal. However, for the sake of time, I won't read the entire chapter. Well, I would urge you to read Philippians chapter 4 in thinking about how to reach forward and press on for the coming year. But I would draw our attention to two verses here in closing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, familiar verse, a favorite of mine for sure, very difficult verse to put into practice, especially on our own accord. I'm here to say that we can't put it into practice in and of ourselves. We need God's divine help. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know, if we would ask God to help us live out this verse in the coming days or years, as long as he gives us life, we will not only be reaching for the goal, but I believe the goal will one day be in full view. It will be a reality. And I would close by reading the verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, again,